Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely correct. You just tuned in to Taino Radio, and guess what? It's Friday night, 10 p.m., Indigenous Power Hour.
Hey!
This is great time. It's Friday night. This is Northern Creed. You know what it's about. You know what it's about. It's Friday night. This is the Power Hour, and I have with me once again Supreme Rapper, Native American Indigenous. Her name is 4-1. What's up?
Good evening. Good evening, Santa Cory, and good evening, Turtle Island relatives. Are you ready? Are you here? Are you present? It's time to get that medicine. It's time to start that process. How was your week?
Oh, man, that's amazing. Hey, man, it was kind of a crazy week, you know, at work. You know, I'm a social worker / therapist, so I do a lot of counseling throughout the week. And there's one theme that everyone tells me. You know what that theme is?
What's that?
I'm pissed off. A lot of angry people out there because there's a lot of angry people pressing that buttons. What's up with all this damn anger? Everybody's pissed off. What's going on?
Well, it's not my dog, so I cannot walk it. And what I mean by that is about protecting our energy. See, that's part of the process of healing is being mindful all the way down to the colors of clothes we wear. Even the color setting we're in can either make it a reflective environment or an environment of one is absorbing. So who knows what is going on out there right now? I do not own that anger. You do not own that anger. And so as we progress, because we're healing, we are smudging and not judging. And we're going to get to that point. We're going to get to that point that we're going to understand just how powerful of a spirit being that we are and about how to reflect negative energy, you know, and only walk the dog that belongs to us. That type of energy is always present. For everything that matters, there is an anti-matter. Some days we are more in tune because we are not managing, you know, ourselves, our energy, our thoughts, our speech, our interests, our likes, our dislikes, you know. And so, I don't know. I suggest you just give it back, you know, because the dog you're walking, he's got a new dog house, right?
He's
got a new place. That's your dog, you know? I don't know, Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Well,
I was always told to, you know, when I start absorbing, or there's something I need to let go of, you know, because that's really important, is understanding about, you know, guarding your spirit, all of that. But also, you know, how much do we invest into other people's issues? Because, see, I'm trying to get past that gossip. I'm trying to get past talking about people. I'm trying to get past solving, you know, issues that aren't mine or being a part of them. I'm trying to get, you know, remain on a focus of, you know, tending to my own, you know, and letting go of those things that I cannot change. That's big. That's real big. That holds on to a lot of us. Holding on to things that we can't let go of.
That's true.
When it boils down to it, it ends up not even being ours, you know? Like, for example, when I went into sweat, about 7 months ago, 8 months ago, with the passing of three of my brothers, two, they all committed suicide. However, the second brother, he attempted to take his life on Facebook Live 2 weeks after my first brother did. And luckily, he had enough of a following that they were able to find his location and cut him down in time. So that was very difficult for me. It was very difficult because I could not change the outcome, no matter, you know, because you go through that as a survivor of suicide. What could I have done different? If you had a direct role on it, or may have thought you did, I'm here to tell you that wasn't your life to live. No matter how close the relationship, if it was a mother and son, a sister and brother, or a father and son, you know, their life was not yours to live. So no matter what you could have done different, if you had gotten there 5 minutes earlier, that was their life and their decision. So those are the things that I had to go before Creator and ask to let that go, to let the things go that I could not change. So what's next?
You're absolutely correct. It's kind of interesting you said this, because not too long ago, a couple hours ago, I was disclosing some information with a friend of mine about my life, and it opened a whole conversation of synchronicity, how we both experienced similar situations, and how
Can I ask you something real quick? Are they indigenous too?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, you're going to find that to be a common thread anyways. Those similarities?
There you go.
Because that's the trauma in the DNA.
Definitely.
So, go ahead, please.
But what's amazing, I don't want to go into detail, but what's amazing is that even though we have similar experiences of devastation, of at the crossroads where either you're going to break or you're going to grow.
Right.
And key people came into our lives to make a difference. And we both encountered each other to support one another as well. I just find it amazing that there is that great spirit. Now, I'm not saying this great spirit is like pulling strings or this great controlling God, but it gives us the opportunity to experience happiness after horrendous situations.
Absolutely.
But it's up to us. It's up to us to pick up that beater and hit that drum, you know, and that I call life. So either we get stuck, become stagnant water, or we're like that beautiful river, we just keep flowing. I just find it amazing.
What I got out of this, if I may, is the exchange that you guys have, that common ground, either positive or negative, you know. But even in that exchange, there was some healing between the two of you, just in the sharing of information, you know, because you guys found support in one another, sharing that story or sharing that experience. And that's something I want to remind relatives of, is that we have the ability to heal ourselves and to heal one another. We're not alone. We're not alone, and it's okay to not be okay sometimes.
That's right.
It's also okay to be okay.
Yep, exactly. And you know what? And I know this is kind of like old school, but check this out. Ready for this? This is what I've learned.
Yes.
And listen to different people this past week. It's all right to be humble. It's all right to say, damn, I don't have control of my life. I still got to do some work.
Right.
Let me change that. Hold on.
Change it.
I cannot control, but I can maintain control if I do this, this, and that. And a part of it is humility. We have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves and search for that help. Search for that brother and sister.
That medicine?
The medicine, right?
Well, are we not the medicine?
That's it.
Absolutely. Remember, relatives.
You know what's interesting, 4-1? And I've said this before a lot. When we go to museums, we see our ancestral sacred objects, you know?
Yep.
And we get all these good feelings, and we get very powerful visions and stuff, which is all great. But what happens when we're in front of each other? It's like we want to destroy each other. And yet, the most sacred being is our fellow tribal person,
right,
our relative. So what are we doing to each other? So we're good with the sacred objects in museums and whatever, but when we face each other, we want to destroy. What's that all about?
That is white supremacy at its finest. That's what that is. White supremacy has four stages. Four stages, first stage being establishment, maintenance, expansion, and refinement. You know, some could say 1492. I think it's before that. You know, I think that went back to the very beginning. That is, okay, let me explain it to you. So they placed indigenous on reservations, right? They placed our other brothers and sisters in the hood, certain geographical, you know, areas, right?
Okay.
Poverty is a weapon of mass destruction. So
that's it, poverty, right?
So what do they do on the res? Or what did they do? They had us fighting amongst one another with the blood quantum, right?
That's right.
So you had half-breeds, quarters, whatever. I say if you got a drop in you, you're indigenous. Period. End of discussion. You know? Because
yeah,
that's one drop. That one drop that separates you from everyone else. Just one drop. You know? So,
that's our lineage.
Right. So then, you know, like I said, poverty is a weapon of mass destruction. Now, they will sell you a gun all day long as you're using it to kill your brother, right?
That's what a gun is for, right? To kill?
Yeah, to kill us. That's
yeah,
what they were made for, to kill us. So, like I said again, white folks made those weapons to kill us. Again.
For what? For what? Do you remember in the 1800s, the Western expansion? $200
a head. U.S. government, East and West, yes.
$200 a head for a dead native head. You get $200.
Right.
To get rid of the Indian problem, right?
Absolutely.
And I believe Abraham Lincoln
on,
was the president.
On every head, every color head. Every head of color, there has been a bounty for it, correct?
That's right.
So, this is what they do. They place us, you know, in these environments. But I need for us to understand and recognize and take accountability. This is what we allowed, okay? You gotta remember, it was just us then when those five boats came. Are you telling me we couldn't have overtook them? We could have. We could have cut them off at that whatever it is, you know, that little thing they walk off the boat and into the little boat and get to the shore. We could have ended it then. Five boats, Maria, Pinta, Santa, whoever. You gotta remember. So we're taking accountability. That's what we're doing. We allowed it. We allowed the placing of us on reservations, ghettos, hoods. You know, and then what did they do? They would build everywhere else. But around us, most reservations are along interstates, which our interstate system is highly notorious for human trafficking and illicit drug trafficking, correct?
That's right.
Well, as well as stolen goods and whatever else they steal. So they, you know, they still are people, they still are children, they still are, you know, still everything else. Our natural resources, you know. And so that's what got us fighting one another all the time is making it a task of just going to the corner store. They let this fear, you know, we allow this fear to come in that we can't leave the reservation, that we can't leave the hood. So therefore, we don't go nowhere. We don't go anywhere, you know, because the men,
right,
or so-called men of these days, would rather shoot you than take an ass whooping, you know? So they would rape, are men, women, and children, which kept our boys from becoming men and our women, our little girls from becoming women. Along with that, segregation. They then threw in there that part about, excuse me a second, dependency. And I just don't mean dependency, you know, for drugs and alcohol or sex or, you know, whatever. But a dependency on being told what to do. We don't even know how to think. We wait for them to tell us what to do, when to come and go, and who to be. We done with that. We done. Because our ancestors gave us more than trauma. They gave us more than scars. They gave us strength. They gave us resilience. They gave us a backbone. Had a very interesting, I attended the women's, the violence against women's, the national congressional, the 117th conference for the road to reactivate the women, the Violence Against Women's Act. And what I'd say might sting a little. And it's only going to sting those that are hiding the truth. It's only going to sting those that don't want you to know the truth. So let me break this down for you. It is the Bipartisan Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act of 2019. And it was sponsored by Representatives Bass of California, D37, you know, Democrat 37, and Fitzpatrick, PA, Republican number one. Not passed in the House of Representatives with a strong bipartisan support April 4th. It was based on an extensive outreach to domestic violence and sexual assault advocates and experts. So
okay.
The benefits of it were no rollback. It maintains vital protection for vulnerable populations. It invests in prevention, like as in, you know, the instances, what's in place now with domestic violence, stalker laws, and individuals that have been convicted of those crimes being unable to purchase guns because of it being a violent act. So those been there, they've been in place, right? It is to improve access to safe housing for survivors. Excuse me. It affirms tribes' inherent sovereignty to prosecute non-Native sexual predators who prey on Native women. Catch this, though, on tribal lands. Its purpose of providing victim services accurately defines domestic violence to include the full range of abusive behaviors experienced by survivors. It protects survivors, you know, and that, you know, their autonomy by providing alternatives to the criminal legal system when this does not compromise or compromise their safety. Okay? Now, follow me. Who qualifies? A person is eligible to apply for it if they have been abused by their legal permanent resident or U.S. citizen. It gives, you know, legal permanent resident or U.S. citizen, you know, parent or to a step parent. And those that are U.S. citizens or the child that is over 21, you know, say their parent, you know, they're, you know, they're the last, you know, they're, you know, they've survived and, you know, they're over the age of 21. It gives them this little bit of assistance because it's giving us, you know, some housing assistance, okay? But it was extended, which, you know, I encourage to men as well. It also was extended to immigration, you know, immigrants. Now, spends a weekend, say a non-U.S. citizen spends the weekend with a U.S. citizen and gets beat up. That experience alone qualifies them under the Violence Against Women's Act to go ahead and come here and receive this protection. You know, so it's opened the doors for a lot of frustration, which, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But my problem, now this is where it's going to sting a little bit. My problem, it gave tribal sovereignty, you know, it gave these tribal nations, right, jurisdiction on tribal land. But who has the jurisdiction when it comes to the tribal citizen off of tribal land? Where's our protection at? Because if you're going to tell me we have protection under this law, I beg to differ. We wouldn't have LB 154. We wouldn't have MMIR, you know, laws, or in Nebraska's case, just beginning the mere tracking of our missing and murdered indigenous relatives. So what do I know about it? You know, because what happened was at this conference, very little time was actually given to such a dire need to indigenous, okay? Let me explain something to you and the rest of my relatives. The United States is not a country. It is a corporation that is owned by Britain, which Britain is owned by the Vatican according to Treaty of 1213. Born versus birth, born onto the land, birth into corporation. Okay? So what that means is the difference between that is you will understand the mistake you make in relation to your date of birth. Birth is the acknowledgement date of a deed, the day you were, the day you were born. Has nothing to do with that. Naturally, your mother becomes an informant once she fills out that birth certificate. So the flag of Washington's District of Columbia has three red stars, each symbolizing a city-state within the three-city empire. The three-city empire consists of Washington, D.C., London, and Vatican City. Is the corporate center of the three-city state and controls the world economically. Washington's District of Columbia city-state is in charge of the military, and the Vatican, it all under the guise of spiritual guidance. Although geographically separate, the city-states of London, the Vatican, and District of Columbia are one interlocking empire called Empire of the City. So you cannot use the U.S. Constitution to defend yourself because you are not a party to it. And that's according to Paddleford Bay and Company versus the mayor and alderman of the city of Savannah, 14 Georgia, 438. And 520. America is a British colony. The United States is a corporation, not a landmass. And it existed before the Revolutionary War, and British troops did not leave until 1796. Republica versus Swears, 1 Dallas 43, Treaty of Commerce, 8 Statute 116, Treaty of Peace, 8 Statute 80. IRS Publication 6209, Articles of Association, dated October 20th, 1774. And again, Britain is owned by the Vatican, Treaty of 1213. And the Pope, he can abolish any law in the United States under elements of ecclesiastical Law, Volume 1, 53-54. According to English language, the word human being, which has a Latinist origin, the word human being means animal. So that law don't apply to any of us. Doesn't matter if you're indigenous or not. The United States is not a country. It is a corporation. And business does business. We are either subjects, aliens, Indio meaning no contract. No contract. I encourage my relatives to be self-governing. So again, I ask, all through the condescending comments and feedback process of the 117th Congressional Conference, you know, for violence against women.
I remember in the early 2000s when Pope John Paul II died, there was a huge funeral service.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was watching the news. It was at the news breaking news. At the time, George W. Bush was the president.
Yep.
And I remember him coming into the chapel where the Pope was, and, you know, laying in state. And I saw all these head of states, you know, head of these countries were there. And then I saw George W. It was surreal. I saw the president coming in, which is considered, you know, the leader of the world, right? And then he's kneeling. He knelt before the coffin of the Pope.
Absolutely.
And I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Why is the President of the United States, he's not even Catholic, kneeling before the Pope? So I thought of Rome. I thought of the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor.
Right.
You know? So I was like,
well,
wow.
Well, actually, it's a little more than that, because you got to remember that they are members of the Masonic Luciferian Order. Every U.S. president is related. There was only one president that they could not link in blood relation to all of the other presidents, okay? A little girl went and found that common link between every U.S. President. But they, in order to be a United States president, you must be a member of the Skull and Bones Masonic. You know what I mean?
Trump broke that rule. Did Trump break that rule? I don't think he was part of that, though.
What do you mean? He's a Skull and Bones member.
Donald Trump is.
Yeah. They're German. They're Nazis. Bush is a Nazi. His parents, do some research. There's a picture of George Bush Sr. wearing a Nazi uniform as a 14-year-old boy visiting his grandma in Germany. And you know Trump, his family, they're German. His uncle was very racist. His uncle was, he was a part of KKK. But even more importantly, you know, you understand that, you know, KKK, Nazi, all that, they're all the same. It's just, you know, a pecking order. Usually, you know, the KKK and what's the other? Skinheads. They're you and what skinheads? They have a Nazi, allegiance or whatever. Yeah, those are usually the lower totem pole folks, you know, in that hierarchy. So, you know, when white supremacy gets to kicking in, like kind of like with the George Floyd, I don't know if anybody recalls, but in almost every major city that was rioting or looting, whatever you want to say, somebody was ran over by a big F-250 white truck. I know two indigenous girls that were ran over here where I live. I witnessed that because I was out there. And you should have seen it. It was absolutely nuts because I was the only one out there screaming, all lives matter. And where that came from is people don't understand that white supremacy took that over as part of our divide. Whether you're a Christian or whatever your religious practice is, aren't we all precious in his sight? He loves us all. You know? Remind yourselves that white is not a color. Blue lives do not exist. Blue lives is a career choice. And the etymology of the word black, according to spellcasting in English language, is colorless. You cannot tell me that it's colorless or it doesn't exist. The only color I know that don't exist is white and yellow. Remember? Did you get to watch the video? The human eye only sees in red, blue, and green. So accountability.
Well, you take a
you take accountability,
so you take a big
relative.
You hear, if you take a big bucket, put all the colors together, it comes out black, no?
Right. But it takes all those colors to make black. And you can't have one color without having the basics, the primaries, which are red, blue, green, correct?
That's right.
So, that's my understanding. Red, nation, your indigos or your blues, and of course your green, which is your reptilians. Y'all better wake up. Oh, I know. So in that conference, what I want to, talk just a little more about is, again, we're out here with no protection. And no matter if it's domestic violence, here's a number for you. Indigenous women at a 70% to be killed by serial killers.
You said 70%?
Yes. Yep. Indigenous women are abused, raped, sexually assaulted 3 times higher than any other race of women. Indigenous women, Inuit, and Alaskan will be killed by police before any white woman ever will. So that's, any crime committed by to indigenous, whether it's the internalization of the resentment we have towards colonists or colonization, because that's what we do. Back to the indigenous crime, that's white supremacy, back to what I was saying. Whether it is that, stalkers, serial killers, sexual predators, these are all residual effects of white supremacy, which makes any crime committed against us a hate crime, no matter who commits it. Because it's either the internalized resentment, we internalize it on us, the resentment we have for colonizers, or it is, you know, just the residual effect that it's had, that white supremacy has had on people, period. Any of that hate, whether it's, you know, white folks killing black folks. Here's another thing. The Department of Justice just came out with a report that said the Mexican cartel has taken over the reservation.
And you spoke about this before in other shows.
Right. So at that conference, they were referred to as reservation hoppers. That's what the elder referred to them rather than calling them out. And you want to know something else that was said? It was signed, but it ain't react. You know, it's not reacted. It's not, right? And nowhere in all the, because, you know, this conference was to, introduce, it was to come with change, inclusion, corrections, additions, you know, to what's in place now, right? But every other, I'd say, sentence was to that we had to go to our representatives, and this is what they said. If your representative is Republican in your area, still encourage them to sign it. What? I tell you what, not one of those women were honest, not a single one of them. And what's on the table now gives immigrants more protection as non-citizens than it gives so-called citizens. And indigenous relatives who've got it stuck, you know, in them, you know, that blood quantum thing. You know, they define themselves as being a registered member. Let me remind you that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, it's actually the Prisoner of War Division in the military, and we are not citizens. We are prisoners of war, which makes us slaves. So y'all better stop encouraging enrollment and encouraging sovereignty and become self-governing. That's what I know about the law when it comes to Violence Against Women's Act.
Wow. Well, listen, we ran out of time. This power hour, and this was truly powerful, the knowledge that you dropped with us here in the Indigenous Power Hour. And I know a lot of people might be listening to this who are not Native or Indigenous and may be a little offended or I don't know. But here's the thing. This is raw. This is our experience as Indigenous people. And you got to take out the pus, right? We got to expose the infection so we can heal, right? This is it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'd like to thank you for trying to get out the infection so we can cure this intergenerational trauma, right?
Absolutely. I thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
So listen, I want to end the show with that creator song that you wrote with me in it. How about that one?
Please, please, we need it. We need it.
So let's end the show with the creator. And wait a second, hold on. Okay, here it is. This is 4-1 and Sarah Gordy. 4-1, I'll see you next Friday, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you, all you listeners. Thank you, listeners. Bon matin. Thank you for tuning in. We are indigenous all the way. We got up from the smallpox. We'll get up from this. Great creator.
My soul and my will is mine. Awaken, not blind.